Hello again, and welcome to another edition of Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by TornbySports.com and BlogTalkRadio.com. I'm your host, Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. John, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
I am fantastic. Sure.
Good to hear.
And Devin, how are you?
I am well.
This is a good thing.
It is. Be,
you being well is, yeah, it's a good thing.
It's good for anyone to be well, is it not?
Absolutely. So we've got a few things to touch base on tonight. Let's jump right into it. We've got some Utah Jazz notes. A lot of news, or I guess not a lot of news, but some news that kind of hit the waves yesterday.
Yep, Tibor Pleiss was traded to the Sixers in exchange for, well, Tibor Pleiss and two future second-round picks were traded to the 76ers. And this means they were able to get $3 million off their books. I think it kind of sucks that they had to send away two second-round picks to do it. But then again, they have four or five second-round picks in next year's draft, so they knew they weren't going to use them all. But, you know, Pleiss needed to be off the roster. They made it happen. Now the lane is wide open for Ball and Boy to make this team.
Yep.
And I'm glad they were able to figure something out.
Oh, and by the way, side note, I saw today, looks like Philadelphia plans to let Tibor Pleiss go.
Yep, and he will likely go play for CS, the Moscow team. I can't remember the acronym. CSK something Moscow.
Yeah, isn't that who he was with before he came here, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So
yeah.
So long to Tibor. I mean, let me ask the question: surprised or not? I'm not surprised
that he's gone. No. They needed to. So Tibor Pleiss ends his Jazz career, averaging 2 points a game, 1.3 rebounds, 6.8 minutes of play, and some of the worst plus minus numbers of anyone on the team.
And being about as slow as I've seen a player in a while.
But from what I've heard, everyone says he was a really nice guy.
Well, I have no doubt of that.
Yes.
Of course he was. I have no doubt of that.
So, you know, there's that. Let's not just rip him to shreds.
I'm not ripping him to shreds, but you know, I'll say this too. I mean, back to your point, John, yes, it gives Ball and Boy a chance. And I have to believe Ball and Boy is the next man in. And I think the Jazz will. I mean, they've already signed him. I think he's going to make that roster spot and remain.
Of course he's going to make it. He's a guaranteed contract.
Yeah, they guaranteed a lot of his contract. So
yes, they did. I'm just saying, based on our last week's discussion, we talked about it. Some of us,
yep.
I won't mention names. He's not on this week, but I'm just kidding. I mean, we didn't come to a consensus that Ball and Boy was remaining the entire season, but I think the three of us are on a consensus here. He's here to stay.
Well, yeah, I've really made a pitch for him to be on this team, and we all know that DL listens to the J&J and listens to what, you know, producer TBD says.
Producer D?
No, TBD.
Producer Torn by Devin.
Well, I don't know. Is that Torn by Devin or is that to be announced, to be determined? I mean,
it could be. Am I getting replaced?
No, you're not getting
Guys,
replaced.
I think I'm getting traded.
You called it TBD.
Alan said we wouldn't discuss this on air.
Dang it. awkward. But you're right. I think we'd all agreed he's going to stay. And I think he makes the most sense of any of the draft picks for the Jazz to keep.
These days.
So now let's, hit number two on Utah Jazz notes. You're looking at ESPN. Rankings are out.
Yep, they did their real plus minus rankings, which has shown to be pretty decent in the past. It's had a couple anomalies, but it's very interesting to see where they see the teams winding up. And some of the records look weird, but I did add them all up, and it does average 82 games, so the totals were right as far as their averages, but you know, some records are too low and some are too high, but it all works out in the end.
And where are the Jazz on the list?
The Jazz are third in the West. They are projected with 47.6 wins. but you know, according to this, only three teams in the whole NBA are going to win 50 games. I don't think that's the case. But as far as where the positions go, I did find that very interesting. And I do think the Jazz have a pretty decent shot of getting there. I mean, realistically, I think it'll be more like fifth place. But, you know, things break the right way. They could find themselves as high as third.
So let's take a minute, though, and describe the real plus minus rankings to everybody. Because I'm, let's be honest, I'm not familiar with them. I don't know if you put much, I mean, do we put much weight in real plus minus rankings? But
they're pretty decent. They've been trying to come up with something in these post-Hollinger times. And this looks at the real plus minus of the players from last year, what they project them to be this year. It factors in, you know, where they fit on the team, coaching changes. I don't think they factor in injuries too much. So that's probably where a lot of the fluctuation is. But overall, I would say the order isn't bad. Let's just go through the order and get your reactions. And I'll go from worst to best. And let's actually do the East so we can end on the West. In the East, they have the 76ers at 15. They have the Nets at 14. They have the Knicks at 13. They have the Magic at 12. I'm not surprised by any of this so far.
Are you sure? The Knicks are a super team, and
yeah, I'm surprised that the Knicks are as low as they are. I would expect them higher than the Magic, really, at this point in time.
They have a chance to win every game.
Yeah, they do. So it doesn't surprise you that they're down there.
No, I do not think I don't think the Knicks are going to do well this year. In fact, did you see the news about Derrick Rose?
Did not.
He is being sued. Where is it? A woman is suing Derrick Rose for gang rape.
Oh dear.
So that's very.
Rest in
peace.
That's
very scary.
Yeah, rest in peace, Derrick Rose.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say he was injured.
Yeah, this might be even worse than that. Really.
Oh yeah, this.
Yeah, I mean this is heading into territory he may not recover from ever.
I don't think the Derrick Rose as a Nick era is starting off too well.
No, not at all.
I don't think it will end well either.
So
these predictions are probably pretty accurate.
Yeah. So okay.
Beginning, middle, end, all bad.
Yeah. So we ended with Magic. You said Magic at 12, right?
Magic at 12. Magic, I think, are going to be about what they were last year because their offseason was just so weird.
The Bulls, I don't know, Serge Ibaka. I mean, anyway, go ahead.
The Bulls are at 11th. Heat are 10th. Heat lost three of their starters in the offseason, and Chris Bosh's health is not something you want to bet money on.
It's really weird for me, John, because you say the Heat, and I immediately think, well, Dwayne Wade is still on that team. And then I remember,
no, they're not.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
But even that, even with Dwayne Wade on the other team, I believe he's already mentioned him that they're below where the Heat are. So that's an interesting pick too. This plus minus thing's got me all wigged out. Okay, keep going. 10 down to 9.
9 is the Hawks. They actually have the Hawks a little worse. With you have Teague is gone, Horford's gone. They've been replaced by
Schroeder
going to the starting lineup, and then Dwight Howard.
Right.
So they just see him being a little worse. And yeah, that would have the Hawks barely missing the playoffs, which would be very sad for how that franchise has been going the past few years.
All right, then I'm gonna check here. I'm gonna say 8 or 7 is gonna be Charlotte, isn't it?
8 is the Pacers.
Oh,
and that's just the will of Paul George and whoever's
Jefferson
around him. They have Teague now. Miles Turner should be improved in his second year, and he was good as a rookie.
And Big Al.
Big Al is the veteran coming off the bench to park at the right bank, or is it left bank? I can't remember. That one spot.
Yeah, don't forget the Wheezy, dude. You can't forget the Wheezy.
I love Al. I'm just...
All right. So
anyway, number 7 is Bucks, which I'm surprised by.
So am I.
The Bucks are such a troubled team, but you know they really like the talent on that team. So
yeah, you gotta be kidding me, though.
Upside there. I know.
Sorry, kidding.
Yeah. That was an interesting pun right there.
But would you really, I mean, just with the eye test, would you put them above the Pacers? Would you put them above the Hawks? I mean, the Hawks still have Millsap. Howard, I've said I think he's going to play better. Or even the Bulls. I mean, they have, you can say what you want, but Rondo can really get some assists going. Wade showed that he still has some gas in the tank, and Butler is really their chance at a superstar right now and has been fantastic for them over the past few seasons.
Chicago might be the oddball down that list, but no, I'd still put the Bucks ahead of the Pacers, yes, because the Pacers have revamped and the Bucks are staying. I don't know. I'm with John. There is some talent on that team. That surprises me they're that high, but there is some talent. And I think Jabari Parker's on his way up finally. And then you've got, I mean, the Greek Freak, dude. Seriously.
Yeah, you got to think about Greek Freak, Jabari Parker, hopefully getting a full year out of him.
Yes.
And Chris Middleton.
And
Miles Plumlee's the better Plumlee brother.
Yep.
You know, there's some talent there. They got Dele.
Oh, I forgot.
Playoff experience, yep. Dele. Yep.
Okay.
And
NBA championship
experience, yes. See? And Middleton, let's be fair, too. I like Middleton. I do like Middleton. And I think, so yeah, there's some upside for Milwaukee. Are they upside enough to have him at number 7? I will question that. I don't know.
All right, top 6. Let's hear them.
Their win was 41, so they're still saying Bucks are a 41-41 team. That's just good enough to be 7th.
Right.
And that wasn't the case in the East last year. Okay, number 6 is the Hornets.
Okay. No disagreement there.
Yeah, hopefully Kid Gilchrist stays healthy all year. 5 is the Wizards. That's quite a jump because they missed the playoffs last year.
Yes.
You have that team healthy, and you know they'll have Markieff Morris for a full year. Hopefully his head's on right. And then if you have Wall and Beal, who really should be going up to the next level, and Wall's already there. Beal needs to make the jump though. All right, so that's 5. Number 4 is the Pistons. And
that's quite a jump, but I will get on board with that because they're
I'm
a very
bullish
good ball
on
team.
The Pistons. Yeah. I like Stan Van and I like their roster.
Yep.
3 is the Raptors. Of course. 2 is the Celtics. Celtics with probably the second biggest free agency signing over the summer and getting Al Horford. They finally got their star. They've been a team of wonderful surrounding pieces for years, and now they finally have their star.
But does that get them good enough to be up in the top tier of the East, in the top 3 or 4? I don't know if I agree with that yet.
Well, it still has them at 50 wins, and that's not that much more than they won last year. I think last year they won like 45, so yeah. I think Al's good for 5 wins.
All right, fair enough.
And you still got Jay Crowder, who's been drastically improving recently. Isaiah Thomas. They got Jaylen Brown. The number 3 pick, maybe he'll be able to make a splash right away.
And then I don't think you even need to mention number 1. They're far and away above everybody else in the East anyway.
Far and away.
So Cleveland is, you know, reigning champions. They've been to the NBA Finals 2 years in a row. They're far and away above anybody else on that list.
Yeah, but by the numbers, they're not.
Well,
that's what I was surprised at, John.
Yeah, that might be the surprising factor right there. John, what was the numbers?
It only has them at 52 wins.
Which...
And see, that's where I think the imbalance is going to come, because they have the Nets and the Sixers combining for 53 wins. I don't think they will have 35 wins between the two of them. Maybe 40 wins.
This might be the year...
I think they give the bottom a little too many and the top too few.
This might be the year where the Nets beat out the Sixers for the worst record in the NBA, too.
Yeah, could be. Sixers, I mean, it's like Brett Brown's like, yay, we get to actually try this year. And Embiid, as I say this, is healthy. We'll see how he is.
Somebody knock on wood for that boy right now.
Sarge is coming over. And, yeah. All kinds of weird pieces going on with that.
Now, I'll say this, there, you know, with the pieces coming over, and there's some pieces coming over on a few of those Eastern teams from overseas, because if I remember correctly, Detroit's picking up, he played for Serbia.
Detroit? Are you talking about the big guy they got from the Spurs?
No, I thought there was another. Anyway, there's a couple guys that were mentioned in the Olympics coming over this year from overseas that hadn't. Bogdanovich was one. Not the Bogdanovich we're used to. This is the newer, younger Bogdanovich that plays for Serbia. He's coming over this year, from my understanding. And I thought he was going to Detroit. No, he wasn't Detroit. There was another guy to Detroit.
Well, Boban from Spurs is going to Detroit. And there's a couple other foreign-looking names on here, but I really don't know who they are. I don't know if you're thinking of them. One of them is Michael Gbindije.
What about...
sounds like he's French.
And I know this is getting off, and I don't want to go too far, but what about Cox that played for... he played for one of the teams in the Olympics. I forget his name, but he's another
player. Aaron Baines, isn't he Australian?
Yes. He went to Detroit. I don't know. I don't remember. There was a couple guys they were talking about. I thought Detroit's name came up. Anyway, there's quite a few guys coming from overseas this year that'll be interesting to watch.
I'm going off basketball insiders. They're usually pretty good about updated salary signings.
Yeah.
Where's Bojan Bogdanovic is with the Nets.
Is that who it is?
Bogdan, I thought, was with the Suns. I wonder if his rights got traded to somebody.
Maybe it was the Suns. I know it's Bogdan that I'm thinking of. He's the youngster that plays. Zach, and he's not that young, but he looks much younger, that played for Serbia and was really good for them. Is it for Serbia he played? Maybe I'm wrong there too. I don't know. Anyway,
no, I think you're right. I think it was Serbia.
So
him in the final game.
That's right. If anybody's listening, catches some of these things and can shoot them at us eventually, that's great. Because I'm not thinking off the top of my head on that. Let's jump over to the West.
Anyway, all right. Number 15, the Lakers. Number 14, the Suns. Number 13, the Mavericks.
Really?
Mavericks made the playoffs last year. Now they are way down there. Was there really that much change to their roster?
No. Well, they picked up Bogut.
They picked up Bogut. They picked up Harrison Barnes.
And right there, I think those guys make them better, don't they?
Yeah, but they lost Parsons. They lost their center in the trade to Golden State. Dirk is a year older. Your point guards are a year older.
Oh, yeah, Pachulia. That hurts.
That's true. But... Well, and Bogut, if healthy, there's the big if healthy, is a good player to have on that. But I still think picking up a guy like...
really, I mean, if you had to choose between Bogut and Pachulia, not knowing, you know, there is no if healthy clause. It's just strictly, you know what you're getting. Are you going to have Bogut or Pachulia this year?
I'd go Bogut still.
You'd still go Bogut?
Yeah, I would. I like what he brings to the table more than Pachulia.
I love what he brings to the table, but I'm just worried about his durability. He just seems to get hurt every year.
But go back to what you said. Take out the injury concern. Who would you take?
No, I'm saying take out the if healthy clause. You know their proneness to injury.
Gotcha. Then no, you're right. But here's the other question. Would you take Barnes or would you take Parsons? I would take Barnes.
Barnes after the finals?
Yeah, but Barnes got more upside than Parsons, wouldn't you say?
After the finals? After the playoffs?
Well, you really want to talk about the finals? Because we could talk about Steph Curry and how not good he was in the finals either.
Golden State should trade him.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think so.
His value's high. They should trade him.
Anyway, I'm not hating on anybody. I'm just saying here, I think that Barnes is an upgrade over what Parsons was. I really do.
If he plays like he's capable of. He can be an upgrade, absolutely. Will he be? That remains to be seen, because it's really tough to go from playing alongside, I hate myself for saying this, three superstars, because you have Draymond Green, who I hate, but let's give him the credit he's due. He is a great all-around basketball player. You've got Steph Curry, who's one of the best shooters of all time, and then you've got Klay Thompson, who is probably the best guy on that team.
Ah, nuts. You mentioned Draymond Green.
No, I'm just saying. It's
nuts.
Easy to look good when you've got those guys around you and taking some of the pressure off. He will see more pressure. Whether or not he lives up to the challenge, that remains to be seen.
But playing with an all-time great in Dirk Nowitzki, I think, is good for him.
Really? Really?
Well, he's playing with...
We could march Michael Jordan out on the court. Would that make it easier on him, too?
Dirk was pretty good last year.
Was good last year.
He is getting old, but last year Dirk averaged 18.3 points a game, 6.5 rebounds. I mean, he was still one of the better guys on that team.
Okay.
And yeah, he's a year older, but he's still... I mean, he's like Tim Duncan. You think he's getting old, and yet he can still perform at a great level.
Devin, I rest my case.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah. I'm just saying. And Harrison Barnes plays the small forward / power forward position. It's perfect. A perfect molding opportunity for Dirk Nowitzki.
I mean, that's a cool starting lineup for the Mavericks.
Yeah, it is.
Darren Williams, Wesley Matthews, Harrison Barnes, Dirk Nowitzki, and Andrew Bogut. That's an awesome starting five. I think where the Mavericks are really going to suffer this year is their bench.
Yes.
No, that's an old, injury-prone, unproven lineup.
And it's a lineup of four guys that can knock down the distance shot.
All five of those guys have injury concerns. Yeah, they can all hit the outside shot, but all five have injury concerns. Well,
Barnes, no.
Bogut, is he a three-man?
Barnes doesn't have injury concerns.
He's the unproven one.
I mean, he's the unproven one, but does he have injury concerns?
He will be now that he plays for Dallas.
All right, I'm pulling him up.
Who knew that we...
His rookie year, he missed, 18 games? I guess he's been steady since.
Okay, then.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to worry about his...
Isn't it interesting
we stopped... You play more than 75 games past, you don't have injury problems.
I love it. We stop at number 12 in the West to talk about the Mavericks. Pretty sad.
Let's move on then.
Yeah, let's move on.
13.
Next. Oh,
Mavericks
sorry.
Mavericks were 13. 13. 12 is the Pelicans.
Okay.
Because the Pelicans just can't seem to put a team around Anthony Davis.
Oh, my gosh.
Number
That's
11.
A travesty.
Isn't it, though?
Yes.
Number 11 is the Timberwolves.
Wrong.
Wrong.
They shouldn't be there.
Why shouldn't they be there?
Because who's at number 10?
The Kings.
All right. They should be ahead of the Kings. Yes, I agree.
In fairness, they did this before the Kings signed Ty Lawson. Oh, my goodness.
Wait, can I ask what's up with the Kings front office? Let's go from... We've got Boogie Cousins. Let's go from... Rondo to now Ty Lawson. Come on.
I don't think it's just cigarettes that D-Botch is smoking.
No, it's not.
Just burn it down. Burn the whole thing down and start over.
Burning down the house. Anyway.
I'm just looking at their roster. They gave $24 million to Garrett Temple.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you really need to? Anyway, okay. Yeah. I am putting them in my top three for most likely to make a midseason trade because my goodness.
Wolves
all right,
will
number
be
nine
better.
Is
can we all agree on
Wolves
that?
Will be better than Kings.
Wolves will be better than Kings.
Yeah.
Hands down.
I feel good.
And Zach Harper will love us for that statement, so yes.
Well, they're only a half game difference in this ranking, so sure. Number nine is Grizzlies. Grizzlies are getting their guys back, but this is showing them still wavering. I mean, they tried to throw their season away last year when all their guys got injured.
That worked out
real
well.
They still finished 42-40. Well, they were the Island of Misfit Toys last year. But, you know,
yeah.
Mike Conley's back. Mark Gasol's back. They have Chandler Parsons now. And, you know, honestly, Chandler Parsons is a great fit for the Grizzlies.
Agreed.
I really like Parsons on the Grizzlies.
Agreed.
Let's see. Did they get any decent rookie? They got Wade Baldwin. That's an interesting pick for them.
They still got Zebo, and, you know, right?
Yes,
still
have Zebo.
Still got Tony Allen. Vince Carter, I think, is coming back.
See, we're getting into the age thing again with Zebo and Vince. I mean...
Yeah, but Zebo, there's a difference between age in Zebo and age in Vince. Zebo still puts up good numbers, and
Vince still dunks.
Vince still dunks, but that's about all he's good for anymore.
Well, Zebo's 35. Vince is 39.
I love
it's
the looks.
39.
I love the looks I get from Devin when I say these things.
It's like that Nick Cannon meme, just utter confusion.
All right. Next.
Yeah, Vince is 3 years older than anyone else on the team. Okay, now to the playoffs. Number 8 is the Nuggets.
Really?
They had a pretty decent offseason, but wow.
Yeah. They just made another move, too, yesterday. A name that I didn't recognize much of, but...
Yeah, Laverne, he's a good backup big. I was surprised that they let him go for 2 second-rounders. But, they have a lot of big men, so I understand why they'd want to move him, because they have Nurkic, they have Jokic. He wasn't going to get much time, but, you know, I don't think he's going to get much time on the Thunder either. But anyway, yeah, the Thunder has a pretty decent team. I don't personally think they were ready to actually get back into the playoffs this year, but, you know, we'll see how they are when they have Emmanuel Mudiay in his second year and Jamal Murray's looking pretty promising as a rookie. And like I said, the two big men, Nurkic and Jokic. And then, of course, Gallo and Fried and Wilson Chandler and all the usual suspects.
Surprising that none of those guys moved, but yeah, still. All right, number 7.
7 is the Blazers.
No respect.
Weren't they 6th last year?
Yes, I believe they were.
I think they don't really like the signing of Evan Turner.
Were they or were they 5th?
No, they were 6th.
I thought they were the first-round matchup with...
You know what? No, you're right. They were 5th. It was them and the Clippers in the first round, and then they faced Golden State in the second round. So they were 5th last year.
Yeah,
so that drops them 2 spots. So even more to your point that apparently ESPN doesn't like the Evan Turner pickup.
You know what's sad is I can understand one spot because of a certain team that we seem to talk about a lot. But as we get up this list, it gets a little confusing.
Yeah,
because some of these teams I'm not sure about. Let's look ahead.
Yeah. All right, let's go to number 5. Or 6.
We're on number 6.
Yes,
and it's the Thunder. You have a motivated, re-signed Russell Westbrook. This is my team now. When they traded away Serge Ibaka, they made themselves deeper. They have a really stacked roster. In fact, looks like they are going to have to waive somebody to get down to 15.
sorry.
You know what I'm calling this season?
What?
The Wrath of Russ.
Oh, it's going to be a good year.
Yes.
We all remember what it was like, not this last season, but the season before, where Durant sat out for, wasn't it close to half the season, where Westbrook just went off.
Oh, you just wait.
It's going to be like that.
Yep.
There's a reason that people are saying that he is the heir to the Jordan Kobe scoring guard killer instinct.
I don't know if I'll put him there yet, though.
Let's talk at the end of the season.
Agreed. and his team has to be up there somewhere by that point in time.
When he averages a triple-double.
Right. Which he's capable of, and he's done. Okay, so from the Thunder, we go to who?
All right. We now go to number 5, and this is the confusing one. The Rockets are at number 5.
That is confusing.
They got rid of Dwight Howard. They signed Eric Gordon, who has real health problems. They wound up with Nene in a trade, I believe.
Which I don't mind that move.
Did they trade? No. He was a free agent signing.
I don't mind picking him up.
They actually got him for a good deal, but I just don't see it.
That's because it's not there.
I'm just staring at this going, okay, you have James Harden, Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon. Where's your defense? I guess Trevor Ariza has to defend everybody again this year.
Honestly, John, I would put the Wolves above the Rockets.
The only thing they need left is
they don't even have a center.
Well, Clint Capela. The only thing they need left is to put Alvin Gentry at the helm. I know. Maybe that was too soon. I couldn't help it.
Was it D'Antoni they picked up? Is that who their coach is now?
Is it? I think so.
Yeah, it's D'Antoni. Maybe that's where they're thinking.
Maybe.
Yeah, D'Antoni went really well in New York.
Hey. I just mentioned another coach that both had stints in Phoenix, both had good stints in Phoenix and haven't been good since then. So
D'Antoni had a really good run in LA too. So he's proven.
He had a great run in LA. Yeah, right.
All right. Let's talk about home court in the West.
All right. Number four, the Clippers.
Yes, indeed.
They did not do much besides give raises to Austin Rivers and Wesley Johnson, but they were fourth place last year. They're projected to be fourth place this year. Honestly, no real reason to think otherwise.
And that's where they're going to sit, and you see them not getting out of the second round of the playoffs or even getting very far. Yeah, it's going to be the same. It's going to be the same story again, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think Chris Paul is deadly. DeAndre Jordan is playing super motivated. Blake's been injured enough that he's got to adjust his game. Crawford will still be vying for sixth man of the year. JJ Redick is a stud. Paul Pierce has decided not to retire. So guess he's coming back.
Still don't know why.
So yeah, good team. Not to win, but at least they'll go deep in the playoffs. Number three, the Jazz.
Sweet. We don't even need to talk about them. We already all know about them. We already know how we feel about them.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Number
two.
Top
three offseason. Number two, the Spurs, Kelsey Breeze. Yes, Tim Duncan retired, but Tim was becoming more and more of a supporting player. This is now the team of Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge, Tony Parker. They picked up Pau Gasol, who's going to step right in and be really good. I should also mention that's probably why they're low on Chicago, because Pau left.
Yeah, good point.
And they've got some good young guys that they've drafted over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Kyle Anderson's looking like he might contribute this year. Deontay Murray just fell to them at 29. I thought he would be more like number 19, but he went all the way down to the Spurs.
Do you know if they signed that Simmons kid? Fella, young man.
Jonathan Simmons, yes. He is indeed under contract.
But look at that size and that offensive firepower from the 3 through 5. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, you know, like you said, LaMarcus Aldridge and I mean, those three guys.
And Gasol,
yeah, those three guys are just firepower. I mean, you're going to have to. Who are you going to guard? Where are you going to guard them? Because all three of them can shoot anywhere on the floor that they want.
They'll be a fun team.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be very good.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll be good. And then, of course, number one is the team projected to win 85 games, even though it's only an 82-game season. Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
Now this will be a fun year for the Warriors. But most of the team is going to be free agent at the end of the year. So this is really a 1 year, let's make this happen. And then they have some decisions to make in the offseason.
I can't wait till we have our predictions episode here in another probably month or less. I can't wait.
Well, you're going to have to, because that's all the time we have for NBA talk.
Fine. Yeah.
So up next, we'll talk about college football and some other things.
All right. Well, let's jump to college football. Isn't that where we wanted to go next, John?
Yep.
Let's talk about the upcoming schedule week for college football opening weekend. We've actually already had one game. I don't know how many people watched. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but we already had one game in Australia for opening weekend. But this weekend, locally, we've got the Utes Thursday night against the Southern Utah Thunderbirds. And then Saturday, the Cougars traveling to University of Phoenix Stadium to play the Wildcats of Arizona. Picks. Should we do, I mean, do we want to just go
Whoa, you're missing a matchup.
Am I missing Weber State? Or no, Utah State. Both. Utah State against who?
Weber State.
Oh, they're against each other. See? All right, don't mind me. I'm just short on the stick here right now.
Yeah, I think we can do picks.
Should we do picks? Yeah, let's do picks.
John, you want to kick it off?
All right, BYU at Arizona. Who do you got?
I got BYU in a close one.
I got Arizona by 10.
What'd you say, John?
All right. Southern Utah University at Utah. Who do you got?
Wait. John, you didn't give your pick.
Yes, he did.
What did he say?
Same.
Oh, I didn't hear him say same. Sorry.
Same as you, I believe.
Same as me. Yes, he's same as me.
Same as you, Mac. All
right. Okay. Southern Utah,
Utah should beat Southern Utah by 40.
Yeah, they should. I suspect they will.
I'm going to say slow start by the Utes, but they just annihilate them in the second half.
You know, there's going to be some questions answered this weekend for everybody to watch early on. I mean, the Utes, I like that team. Okay. For those listening that know I'm a BYU fan, go ahead. Take a moment and realize I just said that. But no, I like the Utes. They look to be really good this year. And Devin, you haven't even grinned one direction yet on that. But the real question mark is Troy Williams. Wouldn't you say? You've got the quarterback position. You've got to have a guy who can play at the elite level. I think Troy Williams is that question mark right now. And can he and will he? And where is that going to be? But this week is against, you know, Southern Utah. So I don't know if you can gauge a lot of it. Can you?
No, I don't think you can take too much away. And I don't think Utah's going to come out and show all their cards either. Let's be honest.
Totally agree.
So the real statement will be covered in next week's episode, which we're not even going to touch on.
No, we're not touching that
one yet. We're not going there yet. So let's look at the last one.
And as far as BYU and Arizona, BYU's got some question marks as well. And BYU, I think, has on paper a really good team. But the question mark is really offensive, defensive schemes and new coaching. That's where your question mark is going to come into play. The final matchup, Utah State, Weber State. I think Utah State wins it.
Me too.
I'm going to say that game is going to be closer than people expect.
Where's it at?
It is at Utah State, I believe.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'm going to give them the edge. Utah State will get the win, but it will be closer.
I want to hear your reasons. I'm curious.
Because I said so.
Or is it because you're a Weber State grad?
Because I said so.
And he's a Weber State grad. That's the answer. No.
In all seriousness, this is Coach Hill's second, third year.
Yeah, yes.
You know, he's finally getting his recruits coming in. It's finally becoming his team completely. I think you start to see what a coach has put together around this time. So I expect Weber to be better. I don't think they're going to be a fantastic team, but I think they are trending upward. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. All right. I'm with you, John. Any thoughts? I mean, you say Utah State wins, so I don't think any further thoughts on that?
Nah, they win easily by double digits.
Okay. All right. Let's transition to our next topic here. Quick hits, Devin. You got some quick hits for us?
Do I ever?
And mind you, just for all our listeners, we like to go with these. We haven't done these for a while, but quick hits means we got quick answers for some Devin questions, and he's going to ask them of myself and John.
Okay. Calvin Johnson, wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, retired. He is off to Dancing with the Stars. How do you think he'll do?
Don't care.
Athletes always do well on Dancing with the Stars, so I see him going Final Four.
He's a big personality. I think he'll do well.
And my answer is, again, I don't care.
These are my quick hits, okay?
Okay, it's
I don't
fine.
Come over to your topics and just be like, yeah, I don't care.
Well, Alan. You wanted my answer. My answer, my truthful answers, I don't care. Next.
Tim Tebow worked out for multiple MLB teams. Does he get picked up, yes or no? Alan, do you care?
The answer to the first question is no, he doesn't make any teams.
Do you care that he doesn't?
I'm not answering that question.
John?
I don't believe he gets picked up, but hey, he might want to check back in the NFL since Bridgewater just got injured for the year.
I'm going to say that he does get picked up and he does get assigned to a minor league team.
And he drops to the Tebow pose and knee right at the home plate before he bats.
He can do what he wants.
Whatever works.
He can do what he wants. Which brings us to the next thing I was going to mention, and you mentioned it, John. Teddy Bridgewater, torn ACL out for the year. Vikings just call it a season right now or play through it?
Play through it.
Yeah, good luck with that, guys. I mean, Vikings have been struggling for a while, and I feel bad for them, but...
I still say you have to play through 16 games. We don't know where it is yet. That is a huge piece, but it well, anything can happen. Yeah, and they play.
Romo's gone.
And they play.
Bridgewater's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, and the Vikings do play in a tough division. They do.
Okay. Last quick hit. And it's not going to be a quick hit because we have to talk about it. And I don't think we can make it brief, especially with a 49ers fan here. Colin Kaepernick. Everybody knows what's going on. For those that don't, you know what's going on, or who are we kidding? I don't know where to start with this. So, John, you are the political expert. I just want your thoughts on this, and let's have a conversation about what's going on, because this is perhaps the biggest sports story and the biggest political story in the country right now.
Yeah, which is really funny, because if he was just any old backup quarterback, I don't think it would be this big of a deal. But because it's him, because he played in the Super Bowl, and now he's going to be a backup quarterback on the 49ers, when he says it, it becomes a big deal. You know, I saw that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar likened it to the two guys who put up the defiant fists at the Olympics and Muhammad Ali when he made his protests. I understand that he's probably going for something like that in the same vein. There's a tiny cynical part of me that wonders if he's doing it because he thought he might get cut. And now if he does this, he's like, oh, well, they just cut me because I did this. I mean, a tiny cynical part of me wonders that. But I do think that if that's the statement he wants to make, that's fine. It really doesn't affect me that much, only that it's been dominating my social media all week. And it's also sparked debate about the national anthem. The national anthem didn't become our national anthem until 1931. And in researching it, there's this fourth verse that I had never really heard about, and that you go back and look at, and it's like, well, yeah, I mean, to me, it sounds racist. To other people don't, but, you know, to each their own when they read the lyrics about wiping out the hirelings and slaves. But so by him doing this, I kind of came to my conclusion that, you know, I really do kind of prefer America the Beautiful. Maybe that can be a debate for another day. But ultimately, I think it's become a much bigger deal than it needs to. If that's what he wants to do, that's fine. It really doesn't affect me. But in the day of social media, it seems like whatever anyone does, it affects all of us.
Yeah, I was reading a piece on The Undefeated. I believe that's ESPN's affiliate, their new blog, that talked about the racial tension and the background of Francis Scott Key, who penned the Star Spangled Banner. And it's a really interesting read when you kind of hear his background as a lawyer and his cases that he took on at that time, you know. But really, when Kaepernick made the statement, I don't believe he had any knowledge of that. I don't believe there was any protest to the national anthem, which is kind of ironic that now we have this like separate discussion that we're having all together. And really, really, it's been interesting just to get the takes from people and to see just how upset people are. You know, and I don't want to get too far into it, but for me, I have to look at this as a guy who did this knowing that this is not going to sit well with people. This is not going to sit well with other teams. It's going to put his team in an awkward position, the NFL in an awkward position. It's not going to help his endorsements. His career is struggling. It's not like he was in a great spot and he just went and did this. And it's like, well, I'm the starting quarterback. Case in point, if it were Cam Newton that had done this, you know what I'm saying? He has that almost untouchable quality from the team perspective of, well, what are you going to do? But this is a backup quarterback. This is a guy who, let's be honest, we don't know where his career is going to go. And this seemed to be his opportunity to say, you know what, this matters to me. And I may torpedo my career into the ground, whatever's left of it. But I'm willing to do that because it matters. And I have to respect that. I understand what you're saying because I had that same thought. The 49ers cannot cut him now. They cannot do that. They can maybe trade, maybe, but that's a really hard move to do at this point. But to me, the thing is you can like it, you cannot like it, but at the end of the day, I feel like you have to essentially respect the freedom of speech, not necessarily respect him. Because I don't believe that we are a country that can recognize the symbols and care more about the symbols than what they stand for, than the values and the ideologies that they represent. And I feel like somehow that's just gotten lost in the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, you're a 49ers fan.
And I'm a Colin Kaepernick fan, and I'm not gonna make any bones about it. I liked him when the Niners drafted him. I liked him when they put him at the helm. And for everybody who has dogged on him since then, they've had a reason to, and he's had good, you know, his career has fallen. He has fallen quite a bit. But I don't want to take away from the fact that he is a stellar quarterback when he was good. When he was not playing mind games with himself, when he was out there performing. I mean, he went to a Super Bowl with them. The very next year, he went to a championship game, NFC championship game, and was a pass away from an opportunity at the end that was picked off. And it really was, you know, at the epitome of his career to that point. So to say he's not been good and not been starter material would be a mistake. As far as this situation goes, I'm with you, Devin. I mean, first of all, this doesn't hurt his career. And he, or even if it did, I don't think he cares. And I read a follow-up to his comments on Sunday. They had a players-only team meeting. And he explained himself to his peers. And it was interesting to read some comments from his peers afterwards. Torrey Smith, among them, mentioned that while he wouldn't do the same thing Cap did and wouldn't agree with it, he stands behind him. It says a lot that his peers stand behind him on this after he explained himself. So I don't know. Everybody listening to me needs to understand something. I have a great deal of pride for my country and for the Star Spangled Banner and for the Pledge of Allegiance and for the flag and everything and for our military. God bless them. I stand behind them and I respect them. I have cousins. I have grandparents that have all been there and served. Do I have a problem with what Kaepernick's done? No.
And not just our military.
No.
Our police as well.
Yes, agreed. Do I have a problem with what Cap did? No. Do I think he could have gone about it differently? Yes. But to each his own. And you know what? Let it be what it is. I will say there's social issues in this country right now and in this world that need addressing. And I'll leave it at that. I'll just say that it's on both sides. You know, we had shootings in Dallas as well as racial prejudice going on. There's issues everywhere. If this brings attention to him, so be it. Right now, unfortunately, it's all about Cap, and that's the mistake.
You know, and that's the thing. Sometimes progress is ugly, and sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Yep.
And you hate to see that it has to be that way, but sometimes it does. and it's not hurting anyone. It's a peaceful protest.
Right.
And I don't think he means any disrespect to the military. And I don't think he means any disrespect
to the
good cops that are out there.
Agreed.
And you can support him saying, I want America to be better. I want America to be the land of equal opportunity and equal treatment and everything great that we think of. And you can also support the police at the same time. These aren't mutually exclusive ideas.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
The reason I think we talk about this, and John, you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think we are going to see a trend of more athletes speaking out and taking political stances and being figures in policy than we have ever seen before. I think we've seen it with the NBA, with the warm-up shirts. We've seen it in the WNBA with the warm-up shirts. And I know that some people have said, well, the Cowboys can't put something on their uniform. And I understand where those people are coming from. I really do. Because should they be able to? Absolutely. But I think that's the NFL coming in and saying, you know what, this is our official uniform, and we don't want to open the door because who knows who's going to want what. But realistically, come on, NFL, if they want to put something on there for the officers that were killed, let them do that.
Agreed.
That's ridiculous not to let them do that in support of their police officers.
Additional thoughts, John?
Yeah, but Roger Goodell is just a terrible, terrible commissioner, so I'm not surprised that the NFL was doing that. But we are seeing athletes doing it more and more. Long gone are the days when Michael Jordan said Republicans buy shoes too. LeBron James is alpha dog right now, and he has shown a willingness to be more political. And so I expect we will see more of that, and that's okay.
Can I go off of a statement we said a few weeks back, and you made it, John, and I agreed with you. This is where it's unfortunate for us as sports fans, because while we enjoy seeing players and whatnot stand up for what they believe, I hate politics getting involved in something where we go to escape politics. That's the only disadvantage through all of this, is we go to sports to escape it. So yeah. It's unfortunate that the fan loses out on this sometimes. All right. Good quick hits. And yes, that last one was a long one. All right. We got one final segment coming up. All right. Let's finish off our show with a little pop culture. You guys have been giving me hard time about Stranger Things, so we're not touching it. Fine. I'm almost done. But anyway, John, you wanted to talk about a movie.
I saw Don't Breathe. I thought it was great. It had wonderful suspense. Final movie for the summer to go out on. It's about three young burglars who break into a blind man's house to steal some cash. They have a tip is in his house somewhere. But you know, things go awry, and he locks down his house like a fortress. And so these burglars are just trying to keep as quiet as they can so he can't find them because he's blind. And it does a lot of really clever things with that premise, and it has some twists that are pretty out there in a good way. And you know, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was as suspenseful as I hoped it was going to be.
All right. It's called Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe.
Okay. Well, then that's, you know, that wraps up pop culture from John's standpoint. Wait, go ahead, Devin.
Can I breathe now?
Yes. And then next week, you know, these guys have been giving me a hard time about Stranger Things. I'm almost there, 40 minutes away, but fine. We'll talk about it next time. Yeah, and hopefully we'll have a couple other movies to talk about. Final thoughts, Devin?
Nope. I just want to say thank you, everyone, for listening this week. Yep. I know, you know, we got a little political and we got a little deep. We don't usually do that. So let us know your thoughts if it was too much or if you enjoyed the discussion. You know,
yep.
We appreciate you sticking around. So
and yes, we do.
Thank you to Fan Essentials, our sponsor.
Yeah, Fan Essentials. You can order, have it delivered right to your door, $14.99, $34.99 respectively per month. Go to fanessentials.net, use promo code Jedi and Germs, get 30% off your first month. NBA gear, right to your doorstep. You don't even have to get out of your pajamas.
Swag.
Yeah.
Shipped.
Pretty much. All right, let's wrap this baby up, put a bow on it. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for listening this week. We appreciate you doing so. Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter, Jedi and Germs. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, Jedi and Germs, and on blogtalkradio.com/Jedi and Germs. We look forward to your thoughts, and let us know what you thought about everything we spoke about this week. Thank you for joining us. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.